Hare Krishna. A little update on recent developments. I mentioned before that the current government was making plans, aside from its many other plans, to change the religious freedom laws in Hungary. And up to now, the general picture of that new law was that they were going to have three different categories of religions, of churches. One is what they call the traditional churches, or those who have been here for hundreds of years, meaning Christian churches, as well as Jewish synagogue. Then a second category, which are the except existing authorized religions in a second category, which also would include us, who are sort of automatically accepted as religious institutions, or I'm using the word churches not in the sense of building, but in the sense of institution. And then the third would be all other people who are currently existing, who would actually have to conform to certain standards and reapply for their status, church status. That was not ideal, not really what you call pure democracy, where everyone has equal rights and you're not considered more or less on the basis of your faith. But it still wasn't bad. What ended up happening day before yesterday, or even yesterday, because they continued on till late in the night, was politics. And with some last-minute amendments, the results of the law, at least as much as we know verbally, it hasn't actually, all the details haven't been printed as yet, established a the traditional, that first category of traditional churches whom they named, which were 14 in number, and they accepted them. And then everyone else was put into a common category, who would actually have to personally, individually apply to the Ministry of Religious Affairs, individually apply to the Ministry of Religious Affairs to actually renew their church status, and that that status would then be voted on for every individual religion in Parliament with a two-thirds majority. I'm sure this is going to raise a lot of eyebrows in political circles around the world, but especially in Europe. That when the whole basis of democracy is the separation of religion and state, that it's the state who's going to decide upon the authenticity of religion and decide whether they're going to accept them as being viable, functioning entities within the country, especially with a two-thirds majority. I'm not going to so much comment on the law itself because we don't have the details. Close the window, stop the dogs barking. And the whole principle of separation of religion and state is that this is not the business of government to decide on whether a religion is authentic or not, as long as they follow the laws of the land and don't break any of the existing laws, for which there's plenty of both supervision as far as regulation, then it's all right, the religion can register. So let's move on to how do we deal with it, that this as a Krishna consciousness movement. We'll be developing a strategy to respond and to put it actually our own application, which needs to be in, I think, by the end of this year. That's when the law actually will come into effect. Which means that if someone doesn't apply by then they lose their church status, as well as everything else that comes along with the tax exemption and so on. Is this a bad thing? What do you do when things like this happen in spreading Krishna consciousness? It's not a good thing. It's an expected thing. It's something that we expect. We expect that in the material world there are always going to be all kinds of reverses. Vipada, Shantata, Shashvat. We expect that in preaching any religion, what to speak of preaching Krishna consciousness, there are always opposing elements, there are always political interest, counter-religious interest, friction, persecution. It's not something that's new, not something that's exclusive to Krishna consciousness, but it happens with all religions. And in one sense, this type of persecution actually is an opportunity to step forward, to move up. It gives us an opportunity to become stronger. In one sense, I sort of worry more about having a comfortable, opulent lifestyle where the tendency will be for followers and even the priests and preachers to become complacent, to become religious, and to lose the real missionary spirit, the missionary zeal that originally both brings us to Krishna consciousness, attracts others to Krishna consciousness, and spreads that message. So in that sense, reverses are opportunity to actually move forward, are opportunities to take advantage of, and what else can we do but welcome it? Because ultimately, who's in control? Krishna's in control. Krishna's making arrangements. So we need to recognize that Krishna is allowing such things to take place and see how we can turn that reverse to our advantage, which I believe that we did. For instance, some years back when we had a change in law, which was moved forward by the same political party, and at that time they also wanted to make religious laws that would favor other so-called established churches and be a handicap or take away rights from the existing smaller religious institutions such as us, and we fought a very valiant battle, and that met with really great success. So, fighting for Krishna—that's what—that's what it's about. That's what Krishna consciousness is about. That was Srila Prabhupada's mood, and we'll do that. We'll fight. We'll use whatever influence and opportunities we have in order to show the validity, the quality of the Krishna consciousness movement, and to let other people see how valuable a thing Krishna consciousness is, how much it's really needed, that it's not something that should be hampered, but it's something that should be promoted. We have so much to give the people of Hungary, and the government should actually be encouraging us to do that. Well, we'll see if they do when we follow the procedure. And one always hopes for the best, but prepares for the worst. But ultimately, as I mentioned, Krishna's in charge. And we know from history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared at a time when there was religious repression, what to speak of his time, but just succeeding, following his time when Aurangzeb was the emperor and demolish temples like Govindaji temple. It's life. It's part of being in the material world, something that one needs to prepare for, and know that by fighting battles on Krishna's behalf, one can only become wealthy with the blessings of pure devotional service and the grace of the Lord, and it becomes an advantage for us to move forward as individuals and as a Krishna consciousness movement. So that's a little update, and we'll let you know more as we know more, and ask for devotees' blessings and good wishes, because that is certainly something that is going to be required in order for us to move forward and get the best out of this present situation. Hare Krishna.